The date is June 24th, 1987, and we're watching Spaceballs. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the Captain Lone Star to my barf.
I was wondering if you're going to give me barf and take Lone Star for yourself.
I thought I'd be nice.
All right. Hello, everybody. It's Colin Stewart.
You didn't like it at the beginning of the month when I introduced you as the Black Ranger to my White Ranger. So, you know, I figured I'll take barf. I'll take the terrible name. Well, This week, to close out our sci-fi month, the last 2 weeks we have had Farm to Fable co-hosts on our show. Well, tonight we get the forever host. Please welcome back to the show, Mr. Michael Ross. Michael, how the hell are you?
Hey, that's me. I am great. I'm always happy to be hanging out with you folks on the mics. And I am super excited to find out how Colin and I line up this time because I am an unabashed Mel Brooks fan and obviously big Star Wars fan. Though I would say Young Frankenstein is the best Mel Brooks, then Blazing Saddles, and then Spaceballs. It's like third favorite of like the best three things in the world, but still.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, this may be interesting for sure, because I know that Colin only has one touchstone with Mel Brooks. So, well, this week we are looking back at June 1987 when the movies and theaters were Dragnet. I love that movie. That's got to get on this show. The Untouchables, Full Metal Jacket, subject of episode 125, Predator, and of course our movie for today, Spaceballs, which earned $38.1 million on a $22.7 million budget. Like, on one hand, that seems low because of the following, the cult love for this movie, but on the other hand, yeah, that kind of makes sense. That tracks.
What do we know what the box, like the DVD, VHS sells? Because I'm guessing that's astronomical.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
This is like one of the most expensive.
Let me see if I can do a quick look.
Yeah, this is like one of the most expensive movies Mel Brooks at the time ever made. It was the most expensive he made at the time by a substantial amount.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like the producers was made for less than $1 million.
Yeah, it's like $1 million
too. Yeah. Yeah. So
This is old, but there's an April. Oh, this is like literally for like 1 week on this random site, but it says, the week of April 18th, 2021, it ranked 18th amongst Blu-ray sales in the U.S. It sold 5,827 units that week and made $88,920. So, okay. I mean, I don't know. You could extrapolate that over 52, however many.
I mean, yeah. So
the inception of the Blu-ray. Yeah,
52 weeks times how many extra years would that be? Like 40. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely think this is, they're doing okay on this one, I would say. And they must be, they're making another one. Did you hear? The Search for More Money is in like pre-development now or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have heard that.
He's got to get on it. He's like 98 years old. I
mean, yes. Well, as always, there will be spoilers ahead. So if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, then please pass your earphones or phone to your stunt double, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So I found four taglines this week. The first one, I'm going to start boring. Once upon a time warp in deep space, the struggle between the nice and the rotten goes on.
I don't like that at all. Too long.
Yep. I fell asleep halfway through. Well, number two, you saw these coming. May the farce be with you.
That one, that's a good one.
And number two, may the Schwartz be with you.
Also good.
I expected.
Yeah.
Or sorry, two and three. Yeah. I mixed up my order because I didn't like how I had them written down. But anyway. And number four, this one, I have to assume this one was maybe a 25th anniversary edition or something. Because number four is Revenge of the Shtick. And considering, like, Revenge of the Sith is, like, a 2005 film.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that this one was one of the original taglines.
Prescient if it was, but no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, those may not be very good descriptions of this movie, so let's go to Colin and get a 60-second synopsis.
All right. A long, 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 long time ago in a galaxy far, 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 far beyond our own, the ruler of planet Spaceball, President Scroob, plots to steal the natural air from the nearby planet of Druidia with the help of his emissary, Lord Dark Helmet, by kidnapping the Druish Princess Vespa and holding her hostage in exchange for Druidia's heir. When Vespa leaves her betrothed, Prince Valium, at the altar and flees Druidia with her droid Dot Matrix, Dark Helmet seizes the opportunity to capture her ship, but Vespa's father hires the heroic space mercenary Lone Star and his sidekick Barf to save her and bring her back safely. Which they do, but not before Lone Star learns about the mysterious power known as the Schwartz and the secret of his true heritage. There you go.
Right on. Nice and simple. This one is a lot easier than some of the complicated ones we've had of late. Yeah. Oh boy, Spaceballs. I'm a lot like Michael. I've noticed that Michael and I are closer in age. So, you know, there is this comedy sensibility that we grew up with that Colin is just a little outside of the window for. Because I also love Mel Brooks. And Colin has gone on record with Blazing Saddles of saying, I don't get it. But, you know, like, I was raised on this shit. I was in Young Frankenstein the musical. I love Spaceballs. I had a shift in opinion on Blazing Saddles. But Spaceballs and Men in Tights especially were probably my Mel Brooks that I really gravitated towards when I was younger. This was one of those movies that I had the novelization for. When I was a kid, I've talked about this several times. Harry and the Hendersons, Batteries Not Included. I had the Spaceballs, the book novelization, which was written by R.L. Stine. I wish I still Goosebumps. Had some of these. Yeah, Goosebumps yeah. fame. Yeah, so I was there for Spaceballs, and because I was a big nerd and loved Star Wars, I was there for what they were spoofing because I got it all. I understood everything. So that's me with Spaceballs. So, Michael, I mean, we've brought you in because you love Spaceballs.
I do. As I said, I think for me, Young Frankenstein is not just the best Mel Brooks. Like, it is one of, if not my favorite movie of all time. It is definitely my favorite comedy movie of all time, number one at the top of the list. And so Spaceballs is a little bit below that, but it's still one of my favorite movies. I've seen it easily 20 or 30 times. I grew up also love Star Wars. So it was just, I love Mel Brooks. I love Star Wars. I love this. It all kind of molds together. And as a role player, I constantly quote this movie in terms of role-playing games. Like, there's just so many times where we say things like the combination to my luggage, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, just those things that, like, some of them don't quite make sense, but they're just things I repeat over and over again. Like, I have literally told my wife multiple times the whole, oh, the flash of your eyes, the tremble of your lip. You're ugly when you're angry. Like, I say that so many times. It just this movie and I are connected on a very sort of like quantum level. So yes, I do love this movie.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Colin, I left you till last, but I'm pretty sure you don't have any history with this. I mean, talk a little past Spaceballs with me here.
Let's see. I remember my friend who, like, introduced me to Star Wars. I remember going to his house once, and I think his brother was watching Spaceballs and enjoying it, and it just happened. It was, like, the final, like, the Schwartz battle at the end, and it was just like, I just walked into the scene where he's like, ah, oh, my Schwartz is as big as mine, or whatever, just this, like, this dick joke thing, and I remember I was probably like, I don't know, 10, 12 maybe, and just being like, this humor is not for me, and walking out.
You have it's a more so refined juvenile. Palate when it comes to comedy.
So
blue humor is not yours.
So juvenile. But yeah, that's, like, literally my only thing. I've It's obviously Spaceballs is one of those things. Like I've heard about it and I've like
You've seen the meme.
seen the
Like you
memes and stuff,
yeah.
but I just like
Yeah.
have never had any context about it other than it was like a Star Wars parody.
Okay. Right on. Well, here we go. Let's jump into Spaceballs, directed by Mel Brooks, produced by Mel Brooks, and written by Mel Brooks, Thomas Meehan, and Ronnie Graham. All three of the writers have parts in this movie. Mel Brooks being Yogurt and President Scroob, of course, and but Thomas Meehan is King Roland's aide, and Ronnie Graham is the minister.
Ah.
That's actually what his IMDb picture is him as the minister in this movie. Yeah,
So deep lore, Scroob is an anagram of Brooks.
it is absolutely. Yeah,
I was
what it
wondering
was supposed to
if that
mean.
meant anything or if there's a
I think it's like sort of like a play on Screwball, but
Oh,
Scroob
that
is
makes sense
Brooks.
too. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so this movie, I mean, it hits you right off the bat with Spaceballs, and we get our standard crawl because we're doing Star Wars. We're doing Chapter 11. Like, is there a way that somehow we could make Episode 10 sort of push the narrative towards a Spaceballs galaxy? Like, could we have a transition movie that bleeds the Skywalker saga into Spaceballs and Spaceballs 2? I think there's got to be a way.
I mean, it's possible that Spaceballs 2 is a prequel, and you know that's what we're getting to, so
Oh,
we'll have to
maybe.
wait and see.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's like a plethora of fan fiction out there, Spaceball
Oh, yeah.
enthusiasts.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Right off the bat, one thing I realized, because I haven't watched this movie in a while, is the new Captain Marvel movie stole its plot from Spaceballs.
Well, so did Rogue One stole the air shield. Like the air shield in this movie looks exactly like the one from Rogue One on Scarif.
Absolutely. Yeah, that too. But that's what I got a kick out of, is it's like the new Captain Marvel. This one planet is going around and stealing air, water, and and a
Eventually,
sun
sun.
from, yeah, like,
I
never thought
so
about that.
we're one third of the way there with Spaceballs. Holy shit. I don't know. I think Mel Brooks needs to send a letter to Captain Marvel. Yeah.
I knew I was in a little bit of trouble with this movie when, well, after the crawl. I mean, I had a chuckle at the "if you can read this, then you need glasses," or "you don't need glasses," or whatever. I thought that was clever.
Yeah.
But then,
But
like,
what about the hilariously long ship? How did you feel about that, Colin? The 92 seconds of ship flying by.
that was where I was like, "Oh, this is how it's gonna be. It's gonna be one of these movies."
I mean, what is it? The what's on the cover sells what's inside 100%, because yeah, that absolutely just that tells you what you're in for.
Yeah, I mean, for this hour and a half movie, for you to de devote 92 seconds to this ship gag, like, you're really committing at that point. Yeah.
Yeah, I did twice.
Well, we open up the movie here after the ship goes by, and we end up meeting Colonel Sanders in Dark Helmet. Out of everything, the charm of Spaceballs is the fact that your villain is played by Rick Moranis. I love Rick Moranis. I
Oh,
mean,
absolutely.
he's the best in this movie, especially.
I mean, talking about just committing to the role. I mean, it's so absurd. Like the whole movie is obviously absurd, but just I think he just goes at it with gusto. And I can't imagine anyone else playing that role.
Colin, you feel, I feel like you're holding back. So maybe we should just get into this. Like, what did you think of Spaceballs? That's usually a final thoughts question, but you open us up here because, like, Michael and I could just sit here and quote the movie and love
I
fest.
just keep telling me. So we'll start with the positive. What was your favorite part? Like, did you have a favorite joke? Was there a
There we
gag that
go.
actually worked for you? And you're like, okay, that's clever.
What was my favorite? Let me think on that. I did like Rick Moranis. I thought, but for some reason, it's just like because like my intro was like that was the scene that I had saw, so I, that was, it wasn't like unexpected. I knew that he was there. I think it was a little drawn back, or like I just it just didn't like hit me as like, oh, he's so funny. I don't know. I actually liked President Scroob a lot. I laughed a lot at, I can't remember what they call it, but when they're going to do the Star Trek thing where he's going to get beamed down.
Well, yeah, he gets beamed.
Right. Yeah. And so I like that scene, but I also like that, I can't remember what her name is, but the lady that she's talking when she's like, oh, Scotty beamed me like real good or whatever. But I even like the psych gag of like how he gets beamed down and then he's backwards, he goes back up, and then you realize like he just had to walk through a door to be in that room or whatever. Yeah. I thought that was super funny.
Yeah.
I laughed at the Perrier thing. I don't know why. I feel like it's so dumb, but it just like made me laugh.
Yeah. I mean, I put words in your mouth earlier when I said with Blazing Saddles, you did say that I don't think I get it.
Right? Yeah.
And both of us kind of felt out of the loop on the references in that movie. But with this one, I mean, you must have gotten so many more of the references. So like did from that point of view.
Yeah, from the like the point of view of the references, even though it seemed to me like, am I wrong? Like the movie is parodying more than Star Wars. Like Lone Star seems to me like more like almost Indiana Jones. Like there seemed to be like some Indiana Jones stuff happening. But then I was like,
well, that's actually one of my favorite bits of trivia is that George Lucas read the script. Like Mel Brooks kind of went to him and said, hey, like this is what we're wanting to do. Is it okay? And he kind of got like permission to do this movie. And George Lucas had a couple caveat rules. One, they were not allowed to do merchandising, which is why there's so many jokes about the merchandising in the movie. So they weren't allowed to make toys or lunchboxes. So that became the joke. And two, he said, your main character can't dress like Han Solo. So they dress him like Indiana Jones.
Yeah,
like he's actually dressed as Indiana Jones because of that reason, which I just think is really, really funny. Because there is no Luke character. Like basically Lone Star is Han Solo and Luke put together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it seemed like there was a lot of, I don't know, for whatever reason, like the music reminded me of Jaws. I didn't know if they were like spoofing Jaws at all. There was like a lot of things that I just didn't understand. Like even at the end with the like the chest bursting alien or whatever, there was a whole bunch of things where I was like, is there supposed to be more? Like, am I missing a reference? Whoa.
See, yes, with that one, you 100% are, because I know you haven't seen the first Alien.
Yeah,
that's and a direct, so that's the same actor.
It's the same actor even. It is a direct ripoff of that scene.
Yeah.
Except for the part where he starts singing and dancing. Like
which is a joke about Benjamin J. Frog or whatever, which was like a CW mascot for
hello,
a while.
My baby, literally had hello, my darling. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That was a direct ripoff of that. What was one of the other? Well, also they referenced Star Trek specifically with the
Beaming.
You know, the beaming and that kind of thing. And there's also another movie, I can't remember the name, but the whole bit about her learning that he didn't take the money, that he just took what he needed for gas and tolls. Like, there's actually another movie where that's
it was like From Here to Eternity or something. Yeah. It was like some old movie. Yeah.
Obviously the Planet of the Apes, the kind of the last joke, which I love. Is also, I grew up watching those movies. I loved those movies as well. So that really tickled me.
That was like the one I got. I was like, ah, I know those guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I was like I always have this problem with movies where I was like, oh, well, they should have done this. Like the story would have been if they would have, but then I'm like, but it's meant to be like a spoof. Like you can't really critique the story of a spoof when it's like supposed
and
to be
just
off
so
the
many,
wall.
Like little gags that kind of go on, you know, some of them are called out really heavily and some kind of go play in the background. And like one of my favorite silly gags is when they're in the desert and they finally have it out over all the luggage that they're carrying. So they open the big chest and there's a giant hair dryer in there.
Yeah.
And like, obviously that scene is hilarious on its own, but when they throw it out, they still carry it. Like they're still carrying out the now empty chest. And he's like, oh yeah, I can carry two or three of these. Like the fact that I don't know why, but the fact that they keep carrying it, even though it's empty now, just cracks me up to no end. I will just chuckle at that for like 10 minutes after the scene is over.
Yeah, I even chuckle at the fact that every time Dark Helmet gets angry, everyone covers their nuts. I mean, it's just this running gag that goes throughout. I mean, it's stupid, it's childish, but it just tickles me.
Yeah.
You know, or the how many assholes are on this ship scene is.
That's the one I quote all the time. I don't know why. Yep, that's absolutely. How many assholes I got on the ship? I knew it. I'm surrounded by. Like, I say that so many times in role playing games. It's just, I said across her nose, not up it.
Yeah.
He's an asshole, sir.
Yeah.
I was also a little thrown off at the beginning to discover that, like, I thought Spaceballs was just going to end up being like, I don't know, like Star Wars, you know, kind of. I didn't realize like the planet was going to be Spaceball and like the all the people, those guys were going to be Spaceballs and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So apparently in the original draft, they were called Morons or Space Morons. But there was another movie that had like Morons in the title that was also like a spoof. So they ended up changing it. And in that movie, there's a spaceship called Spaceballs, or like, there's this weird sort of like crossover stuff, whether it's intentional or not. So yeah, Spaceballs was not the original title. It kind of came sort of late. And then that's where the helmets kind of came from. Like they leaned into that because that wasn't originally part of the script either.
Hmm. Well, Colin, let's run down this cast list quickly and talk about who's in this movie.
Alrighty. We have Bill Pullman, the president, as Lone Star.
The president, who goes by Eagle 5 in this movie, but in Independence Day, he's Eagle 1.
Oh, man, what a miss. They should have made him Eagle 5 even in Independence Day. That would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
I don't think this was his first movie, but this was early, right?
He did an episode of Cagney and Lacey before this and Ruthless People. So, like, he was basically an unknown. They wanted James Caan. But James Caan mm-hmm. was having addiction problems at the time and would have been too expensive to insure. And yeah. I guess three Toms. They had three Toms as alternate castings. Not the Toms that you think about these days either. It's not Hiddleston. And anyway, it's Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise, and Tom Berenger were also all possibilities for Lone Star. Yeah,
I was like shocked to see Bill Pullman in this movie.
He's very young, yeah.
Yeah,
because it's just like I kind of only really know him as the president from Independence Day.
Yeah,
and like
yeah.
anything else I've ever seen him in, I feel like he's been fairly like. He's in Sleepless in Seattle. No, he's in. Is that one yeah, Sleepless in Seattle?
The Meg. It was one of the Meguiary ones. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
But yeah, true. I was not expecting him to be in this movie, and I thought mm-hmm. he was great. John Candy is Barf, Lone Star's Mog, half man, half dog sidekick.
I'm my old best friend. We've seen this movie a couple times, I'd say.
A few, yes.
Yeah.
Daphne Zuniga is Princess Vespa.
I've always loved the earphone gag that with her, too.
Yeah, that was a nice gag.
Yeah, it still tickles me.
I didn't know that. Joan Rivers is the voice of Dot Matrix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is why she
looks like her.
It says Laureen Yarnell played like Dot Matrix's on-screen yeah. performance.
Yeah, that wasn't Joan in the suit, that's for sure.
No.
Yeah.
There were times where I was wondering if Dot Matrix was actually a person or like a puppet. Because there's mm-hmm. times where she's like so close to people that it seems like they're just kind of propping her up and moving her around in the scene.
Yeah.
That I wasn't sure if it was an actual person. Rick Moranis is Lord Dark Helmet. Mel Brooks plays President Scroob and Yogurt. George Weiner is Colonel Sanders.
From what I heard with Yogurt as well, is it was a nightmare for him because he was walking around on his knees all the time and paint was giving him a rash. But it's still like one of his favorite characters that he's ever done. And for Colonel Sanders, I guess Steve Martin was an alternate casting possibility.
I think that guy did an amazing job, but I do sort of wish for a version of this that had Steve Martin in it.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. Yeah.
Dick Van Patten is King Roland, the ruler of planet Druidia. Michael Winslow is the radar technician that can make all the sounds.
The greatest standout like cameo moment in the movie is Michael Winslow, yeah.
Ronnie Graham is the minister. Jim J. Bullock is Prince Valium. Leslie Beavis is Commanderette Zircon.
I think that's the lady who's like, yeah, Scotty beat me twice last night.
Commanderette. I did they ever use that word in the movie?
Sandy Helberg is Dr. Irving Schlotkin. Dom DeLuise is the voice of Pizza the Hutt.
Which I never realized until like this viewing. I didn't know that was Dom DeLuise.
Yeah. That's the one thing I could kind of do without. Like, the Pizza the Hutt does not work for me, and it makes me slightly ill. Yeah. Like, those scenes I could do without.
Yeah.
There's one point where he's talking, and like a piece of cheese or pepperoni, like, so I was like, blah, in the barf.
Yeah. Yeah. But his robot assistant, Rudy DeLuca, is Vinny. That is impressive makeup. Because that is just airbrush. That's just paint.
Yeah, it's just contours and shading. There's no actual prosthetics used on that.
Yeah, it's so impressive. Yeah, great paint job. I think we're kind of at the bottom.
We've hit the highlights,
Yeah, I mean, a couple shout-outs. Stephen Tobolowsky, because I saw him recently with Memento on this show. I also love the fact that Tony Cox plays one of the dinks. And he also plays an Ewok. So Tony Cox, Star Wars and Spaceballs.
And
Tony
Spaceballs.
Cox, yeah.
I think what it would have been hilarious if, like, at that...
Uncredited voice by Phil Hartman. Holy shit. Sorry. Go on.
kind of what one of you was maybe saying before, but, like, if there would have been some weird ability, especially if George Lucas had looked at it, if he would have given them permission to, like, have some kind of... Like, I don't know, like, crossover with the Star Wars universe, I think, would have been interesting.
There is slightly one, kind of. So, one, George Lucas apparently loved the script. Again, I'm just reading things off the internet, so who knows if it's true or not. But the word on the street is he actually loved the script to the point that Industrial Light and Magic got brought on board to help with the special effects. But at the end of the movie, when everybody's, like, escaping the ship... And there's like one scene we see three or four different times that it's like a little pod, like as it's escaping. That is actually from Star Wars. They just never used it in A New Hope, but it was filmed for New Hope. And so George let them use that film. So there are essentially moments of Star Wars in this movie.
That's funny. I had the exact same bit of trivia that I was about to throw out.
We've right probably there. Read the same websites
absolutely.
Today.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. That is cool. Did Pizza Hut ever have a tie-in with Spaceballs? Do you remember? Because like it seems like it's right there.
Yeah, I can't remember of one, but he's so disgusting. I don't think they would have wanted to have a crossover because it's not appetizing at all.
That's not the
though he did eat himself to death, so he must have tasted pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah. Oh, so it couldn't have been Pizza Hut. Oh. If it tasted good. Anyway, sorry. I don't like pizza.
I actually don't either. I like the breadsticks, but I do not like the pizza.
I know Prince Valium is a joke that I never got as a child. I never understood why this guy was sleepy. So
I don't know if I got that early on or not. But yeah, I mean, I get it now, but I don't think it's particularly funny, but I get it.
Yeah. Let's meet our heroes. Let's meet Barf and Lone Star. I mean, they've got their bumper sticker that says they heart Uranus.
I heart Uranus.
Of course, right? The Barf costume, John Candy had a little remote control hidden in his hand to wag his tail. And then there were two separate puppeteers to puppet each ear that he has. And he has a 30-pound battery on his back. So,
Like the puppets, like the ears weren't just remotes. Like, someone was like,
No. They were remote control.
Oh, okay. I was like,
but they had two separate, remote control puppeteers.
Yeah, one dude was just right ear and one dude was left ear. Yeah. But that's another one of those like circular logic sort of things because Chewbacca was based off of George Lucas's dog. So the character that's loosely based on Chewbacca is sort of a dog. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the Venn diagram. If you take your glasses off and it's kind of blurry, you can kind of see it there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how we get a half man, half dog, I mean, does raise all sorts of questions, but.
Best not answered, I would say.
Exactly. Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also love the running gag with the Mr. Coffee and the Mr. Rental and the Mr. Radar.
Yeah. Again, I think from the trivia that we both have read today that Mel Brooks credits that as maybe the best joke in the movie, or at least one of his favorite gags in the movie. I love that. I reference it all the time. We are now, sir. When we get to then, I can't do the whole thing here, but it's amazing. I love back and forth. It's so great.
Yeah, how about that, Colin? I mean, I know in Blazing Saddles, once we got to the point where they break the movie and, you know, like fourth wall gone completely and we're just now in sound stages. How did you feel about renting Spaceballs to watch in Spaceballs?
I don't know. And just like, again, I think... Unfortunately, I did not have the Mel Brooks programming. Whatever is that, like, comedic sense? I don't know. It just, like, hits me like a dead, like, I don't know, like, someone's just, like, I was just thinking about, like, all the, like, I started with the 90-second thing. I was like, mm-hmm. And then later on when they're like, oh, we're going to comb the desert, and they have the whole, where they even, like, take it, and they're like, oh, are we taking this too literal? And they're discussing it in a movie, and I'm like, I don't know.
That's one of my favorite jokes. We ain't found shit.
Is it funny? I don't know.
It's hilarious to me. To me, that is hilarious.
The signal, like when they're like, "Oh, we need to jam the signal," and they toss the jam or whatever. I was just like,
only one man knows I don't like raspberry.
Raspberry.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you just weren't there for it. Okay.
It's fine. So apparently Rick Moranis like just sort of ad-libbed and made up the whole playing with the dolls thing. That was wasn't in the script. It was just like an on-the-day situation. Yeah. So they just said, hey, go play with your dolls. And they filmed that. I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Are those actual, do you know if they're actual prototypes of stuff that they wanted to produce?
Or they... I don't know. Because again, they're not allowed to. That was part of the stipulation. They weren't allowed to make them, but they might have had them mocked up for some reason.
I was thinking that somebody somewhere must have a couple rolls of that Spaceballs toilet paper that they could sell for millions.
Yeah.
Spaceball. Did you notice that when they were doing the merchandising bit and they're like, it's a Spaceballs coloring book. It's actually a Transformers coloring book because this Optimus Prime is on the cover. You can literally see Optimus Prime on the cover of the book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, speaking of merchandise, I mean, might as well just do Sponsorship Corner.
Yeah.
There were a few, not a whole lot, but always on the lookout for product placements and movies. This week, Spaceballs is brought to you by Meltbone Dog Biscuits, Mercedes and Winnebago Vehicles, and Ace Combs, plus the probably fictional Perrier, Hot Air Blow Dryers, Chris's Pizza, The Great Galaxy Grill, Mr. Coffee, Mr. Rental, Mr. Radar, Jam, and of course all the Spaceballs merchandise: the bedsheet, flamethrower, lunchbox, towels, yogurt doll, toilet paper, shaving cream, placemat, action figures, and of course the cereal, Spaceballs the cereal, which it says on the box is 100% sugar.
Sugar, yes. 100% sugar, yes.
Yeah. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
So how much does Grogu owe to yogurt? Because Grogu was made like $1 billion and it's basically a baby yogurt Yoda doll. So
this is true. Yeah. They just didn't capitalize early enough.
Yeah, they let it sit for a while, probably till Statue's limitations ran out.
It just comes down to George Lucas has always been savvy about merchandising rights. So he saw right away, no, I got to protect my assets on this one.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I thought of another question I have. So at the end of the movie, when they've hit the self-destruct and mm-hmm. everybody's racing into pods or whatever, is the Chris's Pizza, does that mean something?
No.
Like, is that, no, that's not like a, I was like, that guy must be some sort of, that must have been like some weird infomercial or something in the 80s or.
No, I think it's just to show you how big this ship is. Is that, okay. Yeah,
that they have a pizza bear delivery. And a
yeah, they've
bearded
got the
lady.
Circus. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, they've got a circus, whole circus.
Zoo,
they've got
Christmas pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, there's the point where President Scroob comes running up and says that if he walks, the movie would be done.
So, right, the movie will take,
the ship's too damn big.
Movie will be over.
Yeah.
Was John Candy the bearded lady too?
I don't think
so. Or no, no.
I don't think so. Yeah.
All right.
Not unless it's an uncredited situation, but.
So being from Kentucky, and actually the town I live in currently, Corbin, Kentucky, is the official birthplace of Kentucky Fried Chicken. There's a Sanders Cafe, which is where apparently he came up with the recipe. So KFC and Colonel Sanders has been a thing that has been around my life the entire time. So the What's the Matter, Colonel Sanders Chicken line. And then when he kind of like almost sort of balked, he's like, prepare for ludicrous speed. Like that bit cracks me up every time too.
Yeah. Right on.
I did enjoy the ludicrous speed as well.
Yeah. Ludicrous speed, yeah.
Ludicrous speed.
Yeah, they've gone plaid.
It's so funny.
And then the do not pull, the emergency stop switch that they've got. Yeah.
Yeah. Never use.
Yeah. And then we've got like Dark Helmet's various helmets. I love his pith helmet. When they're combing the desert, I love the giant pith helmet. I think that's an incredible costume change to put on that character.
There's two sides to every Schwartz. You got the upside, I got the downside.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did enjoy like the hot coffee gig with the dark helmet too. That was funny.
Yeah.
Hot.
I kind of wish in this movie that they would, I mean, I guess that though it was like, no, like the full Star Wars trilogy is out by the time Spaceballs comes out, right? Like there's a Palpatine and everything.
Yeah.
You know that. Okay.
Yeah, the first three are all out. Yeah. All
right. I would have liked if Scroob was more of a Palpatine than he is. Like if there was more like a master and apprentice situation between him and Dark Helmet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That might be not that specifically, but that leads me into what might be my more controversial take about Spaceballs. Because I do absolutely love the movie, but I also grew up with it. But Galaxy Quest is such a better take on Star Trek than Spaceballs is to Star Wars. Mm. Like the people who made Galaxy Quest fully get and understand what makes Star Trek great and was able to lampoon it in a way that made it a great movie on its own, but also poke fun at Star Trek. Where Spaceballs is just goofy, and it doesn't really follow Star Wars directly because, again, it throws in these other movies. So I think that's the one thing, my critique is that it's not actually that great of a Star Wars parody. It's just sort of a goofy movie, and it has some jokes that sort of tie in, but it doesn't line up with Star Wars nearly the way that Galaxy Quest does to Star Trek.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's my hot take or not, but I think,
yeah, and part of
I don't
it
think
is,
that Mel Brooks loved Star Wars the way the people who make Galaxy Quest love Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, and you've still got the Mel Brooks stamp on it, which is why you're watching the video for the movie you're in 35 minutes into it, or why at one point you can switch out into your stunt doubles. You know, it's there's still the Mel Brooks stamp on it. So yeah, no matter what, it's going to be stupider. You know, Galaxy Quest, I agree, is a much more intelligent way to spoof a movie. And maybe that's Colin's problem over here, is he just doesn't like the all out parody movies.
Yeah, I actually think that is exactly my problem. I think I was expecting something similar to a Galaxy Quest. And it's kind of funny because a lot of the reviews that I read, people clearly think the opposite. A lot of people think that, like, oh, it's, you know, if you like Star Wars, you'll love Spaceballs or whatever. But I actually think that it has the facade of like all the Star Wars stuff, but it's the story doesn't like echo Star Wars, or like it doesn't have those same like touchstones of Star Wars as like you said, like Galaxy Quest has with Star Trek.
Yeah, just
like you needed to have like a more Sith Jedi core and that type of thing. I actually think, like, as much as I like Lone Star, I think you needed a Luke. Like you still needed to have those same like differentiated trope characters. And then it's confusing because in this one they bring in, like, Spaceballs is more of just like a spoof, I think, of like all science fiction slash like Lucas Spielberg films. I'm surprised there was no ET like thrown in here somewhere. Because even like when they're doing the beam down or whatever, like they basically have like a Scotty there, you know, like it's
yeah, he's
almost
literally wearing like the
It's
just like it's so good because I actually think that loving Star Wars is not necessary at all to like or love this movie, and I think the connections are kind of weak to the point that it might harm it in some ways. I almost think if you don't know anything about Star Wars, you might enjoy it a little bit more, though some of the jokes won't land. I think others would land better. I don't know, but like the parts of this movie I like the least is the love story. Where why does he have to be a prince? Why does he have to have a fortune cookie? Why does he have to like race back? Like I like all that is has nothing to do with Star Wars. It's just like thrown in, and they repeat the same joke in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Like the whole thing around the neck is the key to the relationship. In one case, it's literally a key. I don't know. That's the part I like least about it. Where it deviate so much from the source, quote unquote, source material, that I think it could have been better if they had actually brought in a co-writer who actually really loved Star Wars and brought some more authenticity to it, or just gone completely and just make it a space movie and not try to tie it to Star Wars at all.
Yeah, like it's hard for me to think of this movie as a parody. I don't know what it is. Like I want to say, I don't know if these are the same, if these are like analogous terms, but maybe they're like, it seems like it's a send-up, but it's not necessarily like a parody of Star Wars. Because I don't know
if I know those words either, but I agree with you.
I used to love like this like scary movies. I only watched like the first two, and then I whatever. But like I remember like thinking that was like a true parody because you could see like they had all the characters from the real one like were captured in the parody, and you could see and then they were like cranked up to 11 and you could see how ridiculous they were and that kind of thing. That's like what a parody is to me, where this one's just like, it's more just like, let's just poke fun at science fiction type scenario.
Right. Yeah. It's just some, again, this is someone who loves a movie, but it takes some easy jokes, and those are the ones that I don't think land as well. But yeah, so I don't know.
It's definitely some of the subtle ones that I noticed this time around that I really enjoyed. Like the fact that he was born in the Ford Galaxy. It's a joke I would have never gotten as a kid, but just all of a sudden I found this new joke in Spaceballs there are some intelligent jokes. There's just too much wacky shit going on in front of it sometimes to actually spot them.
It was also unclear. I've seen it parodied in other things in pop culture, but you know, people always make fun of like the stormtroopers in Star Wars, like how bad their aim is and whatnot, and how they can never kill anybody. I felt like they should have poked more direct fun at that in this movie. I think they are, but maybe I just lost it or I missed something. Because, like, obviously, like, when Vespa pulls out her machine gun, like, her laser machine gun. Or even the idea that, like, Barf, he's like, oh, I'm out of ammo. Like, that these guns would run out of ammo is kind
that right there is one of those intelligent jokes that I like, is the fact that, his laser gun ran out of ammo. And
right, but then they follow that up with the physics-defying, you bend, shoot yourself gag.
That's right. Yeah.
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 Like highbrow to lowbrow in 12 seconds.
But it kind of annoyed me that they do that twice. Like Barf does it with the pipe things, like sends the lasers back. And I feel like if they're going to, they shouldn't have had Lone Star use the mirror. Like they just do the same thing.
But evil will always triumph over good because good is dumb.
I am your brother's uncle's cousin's
former roommate.
Oh, you must have caught the Wizard of Oz homage, though, Colin. When they first enter Yogurt's temple, the way that they're lined up walking down. Yeah,
I mean, I guess, yeah. I didn't think about it till now, but yeah.
Yeah, the way he gets revealed out of the giant statue as well. Yeah, totally. Wizard of Oz. So there's another one you could get. And the luggage combination joke is still another one of those jokes that I also find on the smarter side, where that's the kind
of combination an idiot has on their luggage.
Some idiot, yeah, and then immediately gets paid off with, oh, yep, that's my luggage combination. Yeah.
One, one, two, two, three, three. So funny.
What else did I like about this movie?
Well, tell
virgin
me.
Virgin alarm?
Virgin alarm was the pretty funny. Alarm?
Yeah.
It goes off before you do.
I did like Vespa a lot, actually. I could have used more. I like more of her. I thought she was funny.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the chemistry between her and Bill Pullman was also pretty good. Like, just even the opening bit where they first bring her on board and they're yelling at each other through the intercoms. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were fun. And of course, we end this movie with like a Transformers movie, because the ship turns into Mega Maid.
Yep.
That was it. Yeah. Like, what? I was like, were maids really funny back then? I don't know. Like, I didn't get it.
I think it's just the visual. And so yeah, that you could pay it off with the Planet of the Apes joke later. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and you also have the suck to blow suck joke.
Suck.
Yeah. Right.
Suck.
Right.
Suck.
Yeah. Oh, shit. There goes the neighborhood. Or there goes the planet.
Spaceballs. That when the self-destruct button is hit, I mean, out of all the people that are running around in all the pandemonium, did either of you see two guys dressed as crayons running around?
No, I did not.
Okay, I'm not sure whether I actually like saw that or whether I just hallucinated it. I don't know. Yeah,
I do not remember seeing that at all.
Oh well. Yeah, but we get our big final battle inside the ear canal of the giant maid, and good wins out because evil is dumb, like you said.
Yeah. Evil is dumb, I guess. Overconfident. Yeah. Oh, the joke about the Vulcan nerve pinch where the guy tells him he's got it too high and then it works.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. There's that one, too. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, and did you catch the Millennium Falcon?
Yes.
Colin, did you see the Millennium Falcon? No, at the final diner scene, yeah, the establishing shot of that, it's parked at the diner.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yep, so Han Solo is somewhere in there.
A little cameo.
Oh, in the bathroom.
See, that's why we, you know, episode 11. Oh, except he's dead by episode 11.
Mm.
That would have been an epic cameo to have Lone Star run into Han Solo, like Lone Star and Barf. Run into Han Solo and Chewbacca at the diner.
That would have been pretty great, yeah.
Yeah, or some sort of gag where, like, because he has to change clothes, you know, for the princely outfit. Like, he has to change clothes on the fly, so he grabs, like, something off the coat rack, and it's Han Solo's vest or something, you know?
Yeah.
Or like, Chewbacca's, like, whatever, that bandolier thing.
Yeah, that would
just
be great.
Just seeing those, like, on, like, a coat rack or something would have been great.
Yeah.
I don't know how I felt about Barf's tail going up that waitress's skirt. I feel like that's a little...
See, that wasn't really necessary, but I liked it when it kept hitting Lone Star in the face. Like, that was funny. Like, every time he turned around and he hit Lone Star, that cracked me up. But the under the skirt thing was... I didn't think that really was all that funny.
No, no. Not so much. My sensibilities have changed.
A little bit, yeah.
So in the...
Check, please.
In the end, the princess finds out that Lone Star did not take the reward money, and Lone Star finds out that he's a
honest to God prince.
An honest to God prince with a magic bottle of Schwartz to get him where he needs to go in a hurry.
Yeah.
And
I think that's the weakest plot line. It makes no sense. It's just dumb.
Yeah. I have to say, at the end, Bill Pullman, when he kisses Princess Vespa, he keeps his eyes open, and it's a little creepy.
Yes, I saw that as well. Yeah. I thought that was weird.
Yeah, it was off-putting. But the Winnebago flies off, and may the Schwartz be with you, and I think the end. There's Spaceballs.
Maybe it's supposed to like set him apart from Vespa, or not Vespa, Valium. Like, he is wide awake rather than... I don't think so. I think it's just a weird choice, but I did notice it as well.
But I wouldn't doubt if that was the choice for some reason. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
But do you? Yes. Do you? Yes, you are. Kiss her.
But there we go. I think we'll put Colin out of his misery. That is Spaceballs.
I thought of one more thing I liked.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Hit us up.
The Spaceballs butt pants I thought were hilarious, that they have like little like butt pad, like little butt orb pads on their butts.
Oh, yes. The Stormtrooper outfits. Yes. Yes.
Well, it's when you're sitting down all the day, you know, you need lumbar support.
Absolutely. Well, there we go. That is Spaceballs. Now, Colin Michael on IMDb, it scored 7.1 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 46. On Rotten Tomatoes, 52% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 83. So, like, audiences loving this movie more than critics, that's for sure. But, Colin, those are just numbers. Like, stopping on a dime out of ludicrous speed and crashing into a control panel. Hit us with some reviews.
All right. Classic Boxing Matches says 3 out of 5 stars. This film hasn't aged well, sadly. I had seen it before 2 decades ago on TV, and I remember thinking it was pretty funny when I was 12. The jokes aren't that smart and induced groans most of the time during my recent watch through, but there was a few which got me chuckling, such as the names of the differing ship speeds. The special effects look exactly like the original Star Wars trilogy, so in that respect, it was pretty good. Pizza the Hutt was the best-looking character with all the salami and cheese dripping off his head and body. He looked effectively disgusting, even though he was a character whose name I groaned at. The film is mainly a parody of Star Wars, but it also has jokes about Star Trek, Alien, The Wizard of Oz, Planet of the Apes, and even Transformers. But as mentioned before, the jokes vary in quality quite a bit. Favorite scene was the Schwartz battle between Lone Star and Dark Helmet. Had some funny dialogue. Final verdict, Mel Brooks didn't quite hit the mark with Spaceballs, but it has a few genuine laughs amongst the groan-inducing jokes. The jokes haven't aged well, and I was quite disappointed by the end. Rick Moranis is certainly the standout, however, as Dark Helmet, funniest character in the film.
I mean, outside of the obvious, like, your Schwartz is as big as mine joke and that kind of thing, I love how playful Dark Helmet is when he takes the ring. Oh, no, no, no. Here, I'll give it back. Oh, I can't believe you fell for that.
Yeah. I think the final Schwartz battle, I would agree with that guy, is probably my favorite overall scene. I liked the when Lone Star is trying to hit him and he's using his like weird force field to block it. And then he just ends up punching him in the face. And then when Dark Helmet comes back, he's just like he can just hold them by his head or whatever. And
yeah.
I thought that was good stuff.
When they get their Schwartzes tangled.
Yeah.
No, you put your foot up here and yeah.
He kills the like cameraman or whatever. He's like, yeah, he did that.
All right, this is a no star review. It's just a rant. Riley Green says, this is the least funny movie I've ever seen. It was incredibly boring. Very few of the jokes landed, and those that did were stretched out far too far. I want to die every second that this movie was on screen. It goes without saying that none of the characters had any more than one dimension, which is bad when the comedy is so awful that you spend the whole movie trying to focus on anything else. The movie comes across as if someone who had never seen a Star Wars movie decided that they wanted to parody it, so they just went off of the vaguest of things that their friends' friends told them about it and ended up just making a worse version of the film rather than any form of parody or satire that, other than the simplest of surface-level connections, bears nothing in common with any of the movies. I honest to God laughed more at Dumb and Dumber 2 than I did at this movie. Spaceballs isn't good enough to be good, and it isn't bad enough to 180 around to being funny again. It's just a humorless void of lame, predictable jokes and so little effort put into anything in it that it feels like an English assessment that no one in the group wanted to do, so they just tried to rush it to pass the subject and they all ended up failing anyway. And you know what? They deserve that fail. That this movie is loved by anyone in any way is utterly incomprehensible to me. It's horrifically boring, and it almost goes without saying that in every single aspect that it can fall flat on its face, Spaceball does. There is nothing at all in this movie that I can bring myself to appreciate. 0 out of 10.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. I mean,
angry.
Everybody gets their opinions.
Yeah.
I will absolutely agree that if I didn't grow up watching this movie, like if I saw this movie for the first time ever today, because I do love Mel Brooks, I probably would still like, oh, okay, there's a few jokes here. But I would give it like 5 out of 10. Yeah. Like, this isn't a movie, I think, with fresh eyes that I would love. And even so, again, it's still, it's, you know, it's not my favorite Mel Brooks movie. So I do understand that if someone did not grow up with it or doesn't just have a strong appreciation for Mel Brooks and that type of humor, there isn't a lot to love here.
Yeah.
I don't fault them for that opinion, other than I still think there are a few gags that work regardless. But, you know, yeah, maybe it's just me.
Yeah.
I'll counter that review with this one from Roger K, who says, "This is the only movie I've ever seen 2 times in the movie theater in my 50 years. I understand that some people may not love this type of humor or don't understand some of the references, but reading the comments by the people who hate it makes them seem dim-witted and humorless. I smile at some of my kids' shows and movies because something is witty and well-written. Who can't bring themselves to laugh or smile at humor? I feel sad for these people. Their lives must be empty and pathetic. Open yourselves up to humor no matter where it comes from, and maybe you won't have a heart attack early from life stresses. P.S. Bite me."
My God, just laugh, people. Stop taking life so seriously.
Yeah.
Wow. That one was great.
Okay, we'll end with this one from Lou T, who gives it 3.5 out of 5. "Picking up on the phenomenon of Star Wars, Mel Brooks draws from a cleverly comical take on the Star Wars fantasy. Spaceballs goes above and beyond the lazy parody films of the 2000s and truly figures out where the deepest cuts and jokes could come from. Over 35 years since its release, although they don't all land, most of the jokes can still crack up a crowd and bury themselves deep in your brain to be endlessly quoted. With an incredibly endearing cast, it's hard to pin down a favorite character, as they all wonderfully fill their roles. Delightfully charming, ridiculously quotable, and remarkably clever, Spaceballs delivers one of the most memorable parody films."
Right on. Oh, boy. Yeah, Spaceballs. You know, this is one that is difficult. I can understand how in the 2020s this would be a hard first-time watch. And it has been a long time since I've seen this movie, so I've definitely had my eyes open to the things that don't necessarily hold up. I mean, one of the other things I read about this movie is even Mel Brooks himself isn't necessarily proud of his Drewish princess jokes, even though he's also proud of himself for leaving them in. He's never been comfortable with those jokes, I guess. But yeah. So there are definitely things that don't hold up, but like, this is one I can't fully erase the nostalgia. The parts that made me laugh when I was a kid still made me laugh this time around. So I'm glad I revisited Spaceballs, but I can see how, yeah, this movie I loved as a kid, it's not as good as it was when I was a kid, that's for sure. But I can't erase the nostalgia. I still love it. It's still Spaceballs. So let's throw it to Colin. We're going to do a love fest sandwich, because I'm pretty sure that Colin isn't going to have the highest opinion of it. But it is your shot at Spaceballs. I'm thinking maybe I'm done with Mel Brooks with Colin for a while. Next time I try some goofy comedy movie, it's going to be like a Naked Gun, I think. I think we have to go that direction with it. Get out of the straight out spoofs. But Colin, what did you think of Spaceballs? I mean, you've had a lot to say, but...
I mean, I'll say that I'm still willing to give Young Frankenstein and Robin Hood Men with Tights a try. Okay. Those are two movies that I've always wanted to watch.
Well, carry Always for Men in Tights.
So. Yeah, exactly. You know, I think if anyone can carry me through, Carrie Always can. No pun intended. I don't know. I'm glad I watched Spaceballs. I'm glad to have finally saw it. I think it's one of those movies that, you know, I've always been curious about, and I've always heard people talk about it and stuff, and so I'm glad to finally like have seen it and know what it's about. I didn't hate it, but I think, as anyone listening can probably tell, it just wasn't... All I can say about it is that it just wasn't for me. I didn't think it was a bad movie. I'm sure there were parts of it that made me laugh, but it's just that, like, gag comedy is not my does not tickle my funny bone for whatever reason. Like I just don't appreciate it
Yeah.
as much as I do like other forms of comedy, like shocking surprise things or like I don't know, more clever things like gay. Like all the things that I thought were like clever, like funny little quips and that kind of stuff, I thought were funny in this movie. But like the gag stuff, like the long ship and the comb and all that, and was just yeah, just not my it's not my thing. So
Between this and Blazing Saddles, though, now that you've got two Mel Brooks movies to compare, I know Blazing Saddles has been a few years already at this point, but this one, did you connect with this one a bit more?
I would say so, just because I think I have a better reference point. I'm
Hmm.
not like with Blazing Saddles, like I never watched like old school westerns or anything like that. Like I remember watching that one and just feeling like I was completely out of my depth as to like I didn't understand why anything was funny. Whereas in this one, I could at least like kind of be in on the joke.
Yeah.
So if I had to pick one to watch again, I'd pick Spaceballs over Blazing Saddles for sure.
I would have loved a shitload of Dimes reference though in this movie. I mean, even when he's going through the Mr. Rental, I like how it's all the Mel Brooks movies lined up on the shelf. Yeah. But yeah, I would have loved a call back to a couple of the other Mel Brooks movies as well. Well, Michael, I mean, bring us home
I mean, I feel
positive.
like I
Yeah.
kind of already said it that like I grew up with this movie. I was 9 when it came out. I don't remember when I saw it, but it probably wasn't long after that because I had some very bad influences in my
Oh
life,
yeah, me
and
too.
I probably got taken to see this movie in the theater. But I grew up watching it and loving it. The jokes, again, this time some of them didn't land for me as well, but the ones that did absolutely did. Like I was guffawing, chuckling out loud at some of the jokes, some of them before they happened because I anticipated, I knew they were about to happen. So I'd start pre-chuckling because I knew the Colonel Sanders chicken bit was coming up and ludicrous speed. And I said, across her nose, not up it. I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes. So I still had a good time. I can absolutely see how if someone did not grow up with this movie, it wouldn't work. So I don't fault Colin or any some of the people who wrote those reviews, but at this point I would still give this a 7 out of 10, and that's a very generous 7 out of 10 for me. I watched it today. I could easily go watch it again right now and have a good time.
Oh,
Yeah. See, I mean, you did mention how you're still open to Young Frankenstein and Men in Tights. Men in Tights is more of this shit. I will warn you of that. Young Frankenstein, though, is a much more intelligent spoof. It is more along the lines of the Galaxy Quest. Like it's more. It gives a lot more love to the genre and doesn't just break the fourth wall all the time and, admit that
It has some
it's its
moments,
own.
but they stand out because there are not so many of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Young Frankenstein is like perfect. It's like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. But right on. Well, there we go. Oh, you looked like you were about to say something else there, Colin. No?
Oh no, I was gonna say maybe it's well, like we were talking before, where it's more of like a parody of the science fiction genre. Like with Men in Tights, what is it? Is it just all like Robin Hood? Like
Yep. Pretty much
is
just
it?
makes fun of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh, like that. Okay.
And
See,
a few
then.
others, but mostly just Prince of Thieves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I think I would enjoy it because even with this one, it was like there were just things where I felt like I wasn't in on it because I don't have like a broad knowledge of what they're like I guess like what they're playing with, like their source, there's quote unquote source material, because like even I haven't watched Alien, or I'm not super familiar with like the only Indiana Jones movies I've watched is Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh wow.
So
So technically you've never watched one then, because that one doesn't count.
and even Star Wars, it's like I've seen them, but I'm not like super, like I'm not a big Star Wars, like super Star Wars guy. And Star Trek, I know like just I
Even
still only
less.
have like a base level of
You have a
knowledge. So
J.J. Abrams knowledge of Star Trek, right?
yeah, basically. So yeah, I think that was part of it. Whereas like there were a lot of times where I was watching the movie and I just felt like I was like, oh, something, there is some, I'm like, It's like, you know, it's like when you have this like weird intuition where you're like, there's something funny in here, but I can't see it. like I can't see it. Like, I just have the code.
Yeah, it's like the Matrix. You can't see the code. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's how I felt. That's how I felt about Mel Brooks movies thus far.
Okay.
I mean, you're not alone, but for some of us, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Where's my red pill?
Well, there we go. Wrapping up science fiction summer right here with Spaceballs. That's our show for this week. Oh boy, a huge thank you to our buddy, our Kentucky Fried podcaster, Michael Ross.
Have you ever seen Kentucky Fried Movie?
I have not, actually.
Oh my god! Yeah, okay, maybe not for the show, but talk about levels of, if you didn't grow up with this movie, I cannot even fathom what someone who just watches it today would think. It is cuckoo bananas.
I'll track it down.
But I would love to have a conversation on mics or off about that movie at some point in time. Yeah,
there we go.
There's a Kentucky Fried Chicken.
It's called
movie.
The Kentucky Fried Movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say Kentucky Fried Movie is kind of like a Saturday Night Live sort of thing. It's just a bunch of different vignettes. So okay. It's there's really no through line. There's one part that it kind of tries to wrap back around, but it's basically just like little skits. Okay. But they're all very weird. They're adult. There's language. There's nudity. So imagine Saturday Night Live, but they have zero, not sponsors, but they have no censors. They can just do whatever they want. And everyone is actively on cocaine. Like when they wrote it and as they're acting it, cocaine everywhere. That is how I would describe the Kentucky Fried Movie.
Well, there
you can watch
go.
It. You can watch it for free on Plex. I'm gonna look that up.
Yep. Well, there we go. So, Michael, of course, I mean, one of the busiest men in the world, as far as I know. So, I mean, I know you've got lots of projects, so plug your shit.
Absolutely. So, I think this won't come out for a while yet, right? So, we're August?
Last week of August, yes.
So, I will have gotten back from Gen Con by the time this comes out, so I may or may not be an any winning game designer. But either way, you can still pick up the game that I wrote called Action 12 Cinema. It is available on multiple websites online. You can get PDF copies, or physical copies if you are interested. My primary podcast is about role-playing games. I talk about that in a lot of the different places and avenues. That's called the RPG Academy. These folks know me best from Farm to Fable, which is the Smallville Rewatch podcast. We will have probably ended or getting ready to end season 7. When this comes out, our season 7 will end right around the same time this comes out. We'll have a month or two off, and then we'll start with season 8. So we're getting close to the end of this. And then finally, I'm also now joined TikTok. So if you want to see me in small bite-sized chunks, or maybe actually see what I look like on occasion, you can find me at the RPG Academy on TikTok.
Right on. Thank you, Michael. And also, are you still doing Healthy Minds Alliance? You didn't even plug that one. I mean, like
so
I said,
it is currently on
man.
It's a short hiatus. It still exists. We're still going to continue it, but we're looking at maybe revamping it a little bit. That is tied into my AmeriCorps service, and I'm currently in between AmeriCorps service terms. So basically everything with that is on pause, but probably late August, early into September, we will roll that back out. Maybe slightly different, trying to get a little bit more versatility and variety in who I'm bringing on to make it a little easier to find guests. But absolutely, I'm still very passionate about mental health education and awareness. So if you want to check out Healthy Minds Alliance, there's about 28 episodes, I think, that are already done. They're all very short form, very positive focused things about people in their communities doing good things around mental health education and awareness.
Right on. Well, thank you as always for joining us, Michael.
Happy to be here, brother.
Yeah, now the ball's in Colin's court. He has to figure out what movie you can come and shit on for him. So that's how we play this game.
No shitting was done here today.
Do you like Freddy Got Fingered, Michael Ross?
I don't know that I've ever seen that movie.
Well, there we go. That might be, we might have Freddy Got Fingered then.
I think I can find him. I feel like for Michael, I owe like a true favorite movie.
Like
now.
Explorers was pretty good when Michael was on for that one. So
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I'll have to think here.
Do you like Independence Day?
We already did that one.
Yeah, I hate that movie. It's terrible.
On this watch, it wasn't that great for us either.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. If you like that show, of course, just tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. If everyone that listened to our show told one other person about our show and got them listening, we double our audience.
Hey, that's just science.
It's that easy. Science, math, all those things. even a little social studies, I think. Or if you want to help us out even further, go to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. It doesn't matter what you say in a review. It's not for our egos. You won't fix us with your words. But if you go and give us some stars and a little review, it just helps drive us up the charts, helps us get noticed. Or if you want to be a financial supporter, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. You become an executive producer, part of the show. And that means you get a shout out like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
Check out our website, IUsedToLikeThisOne.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter and the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Colin, sci-fi month done. This is probably a nightmare month for you because I know you're not a huge sci-fi guy, but
I'm trying.
Yeah. But next month, we are going to have a whole month devoted to sequels of movies that we have done on this show before.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm very excited about this month. So first off, we're going to kick it off with with one that may not be the I used to like this one, but this is one where I feel like I'm giving it a second chance. This is we're going to do Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls, the sequel to the beloved Ace Ventura: Pet Detective.
Man, wow. I bet this movie is going to be so awesome. I love Ace Ventura so much, and I've never watched Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls, so I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to have my mind blown and to just be oozing with positivity, because I just love Jim Carrey so much. And I bet Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls is the best movie of all time.
Yeah, maybe pump the brakes a little bit, Colin. Don't worry. I'll spoiler alert. I told you I'm giving this a second chance. So, let's take it easy on that one. Just go in with an open mind. That's all I'm saying about this one. Yeah.
Nahoo the hair.
That's right. You definitely hear that one again. So there we go. Until next week, when we take a look at Ace Ventura: When Nature Calls, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Oh, wait. It's August. August has 5 Fridays, so see you in 2 weeks on I Used to Like This One.
Bam. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Colin needs to talk to you about season 8.
Yeah, I do. I need you to give me episode 12. I sent you an email. I don't know if you got it.
I probably already plugged you in. Give me a second. I'll let you know. You can go ahead and do your thing, Sean, if you need to. Unless you want this on air.
Well, sometimes it's fun to have the bonus shit.
I need season 8, episode 12, Bulletproof. It's the best episode of Smallville I've ever seen.
All right. You are... I don't remember seeing the email, but I have you on the list now. It is yours, my friend.
Sweet.